God is good. All the time. Well, welcome everyone. It is good to see you and an honor to be here with you. I have been out at our Millstadt campus for the last month, live preaching out there, and it has certainly been a blessing to be with that part of our family. So welcome to those who are online. We're glad that you're joining us. A farmer found a little girl that was lost in his meadow. The farmer said to her, "Don't cry, I'll take you home." The little girl snuggled up to him and with a smile said, "I knew you would. I've been waiting for you." "Waiting for me?" said the man. "What made you think I was coming?" "I was praying you would," she said. "Praying? When I first heard you, you were saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. What was that for?" She looked up again and said, "I'm just a little girl. I was praying all the letters of the alphabet and letting God put them together the way he wanted to. He knew I was lost, and he knew how to put them back together better than I did." God knows what ingredients we need in our lives, y'all, and he knows how to put them together. We'd be very wise just to have faith in him. We're in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, and we're talking about an instance of great faith. I believe that all of us here today would agree that it is impossible to overestimate the value of faith. Faith is the core of our relationship with Jesus Christ. For it is by grace that we are saved, through faith. And we know that it's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We can all agree that through ups and downs in life, sometimes our faith is all that helps hold it together, if we keep the faith. Now, we all know that faith is a noun. I know this. But faith best operates as a verb. Faith best operates when we put our faith into action. Faith demands us to act. Faith is that which moves you and motivates you, and calls us to do something. Faith doesn't operate where there is a guarantee of victory. Faith only operates when there's a possibility of failure and defeat. I want to say that again. Faith does not operate where there is a guarantee of victory. Faith only operates when there's a possibility of failure and defeat. You could say that faith is also synonymous with risk, right? When you have faith, you're taking a risk, because wherever there is no risk, there's no faith involved. Faith is when you understand that if God doesn't show up and if God doesn't intervene in a situation, that there'll be defeat. Let me give you a simple example, very simple example of faith and risk. You don't have to have faith to see the pew that you're sitting on, right? You can see it. But the risk comes in believing that the pew is going to hold you up. But faith and risk that you take is believing that if you sit on that pew, it's going to hold you up. We see this story today in Peter. Peter knew that faith and risk were synonymous. Peter had faith and took the risk to step out of the boat. Our story starts with the miracle of Jesus having fed the 5,000 men from just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And this wasn't even counting women and children, so it's estimated probably about 15,000. Then Jesus sends his disciples away. He tells them to get on the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he sends the multitudes away. Verse 22 says, Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. So the disciples did like Jesus said and got on the boat and headed for the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then scripture tells us that Jesus went off by himself to pray. Matthew 14:24 says, "But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves and wind that was contrary." In other words, the wind was blowing in all different directions. I want to stop right there for just a moment. Let's talk about this contrary wind. We can experience contrary winds in many ways, right? And they can even blow from any direction. The loss of a job, health issues, death, accidents, broken marriages, children that you raise that go astray, family dysfunction, anxiety, depression. Contrary winds can come in many directions. I want to give you three truths about contrary winds. First of all, Christians experience contrary winds, right? Some think if we're Christians, that we'll not have those struggles and we'll not fight against those winds, and that's not true. We all feel the winds. We all have trials and tribulations, and it says that in God's word. John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So although we experience contrary winds, we can have peace in Jesus. Number two, we're strengthened during contrary winds. It's during these times that we fully rely on God and we're strengthened. And number three, contrary winds can blow us into something better if we just look to Jesus. All of those storms can be around us, but if we'll put our eyes on Jesus and have faith and turn it over to him, our situation can turn out better than we ever imagined. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." So the force of the contrary wind is keeping the disciples from getting where they need to be to the other side, and that's where Jesus is going to meet them. And from the mountaintop, Jesus can see where he went to pray. He can see that they're stuck in the middle of the sea. And the Bible says that he went to walk on water to them. Verse 25 says, "Now in the fourth watch on the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea." In the fourth watch, I want to explain that to you. It's about 3 hours before the rising of the sun, so 3 to 6 a.m. The Jews anciently divided the night into three parts, each consisting of 4 hours. They called them watches, and this came from their military guards, which they relieved every 3 hours. Verse 26. "When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and in their fear they cried out, 'It's a ghost!'" The disciples don't know that it's Jesus, and they are afraid. And then in verse 27, Jesus says to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid." He tells them three things in that verse. Be of good cheer. It is I, and do not be afraid. The term "be of good cheer" is the word theraseo in Greek. It means cheer up, have courage, or to be confident. So be confident. God's telling them, you can be confident. It's me, and don't be afraid. And then Peter says in verse 28, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come to you on the water." And what does Jesus say? "Come. Come." The disciples are trembling with fear, And now Peter is standing on the edge of the boat with a decision to make. I know that all of us have been there, right? God has asked us to do something. God wants us to go deeper with him. And we're standing on the edge of the boat. Then Peter got out of the boat. And miraculously, he begins to walk on the water. And we all know the story, and we know that it doesn't end right there. After just a few steps, Peter begins to look around, and he sees the winds and the wave, and he begins to sink. You know, he was able to get out of the boat because he was keeping his eyes on Jesus. And he saw Jesus, and that was his goal, to get to Jesus. But when he got out, he relied on those things around him, the wind and the waves, and all of those things that make us sink. Watch this. The same thing that motivates him to walk on the water is the same thing that causes him to sink. He had faith in Jesus because he knew that Jesus could help him and make him walk on water. But then he takes his eyes off, and his lack of faith makes him sink. Do you know that the biggest problem with your faith and my faith is a negative mindset and a lack of confidence? Faith cannot grow when all you see is the bad and when all you believe is the worst. I understand there are times that we all feel like Peter and the disciples, and we feel like we've been rowing the boat in circles all night long and we're not getting anywhere. We work hard at it, and we get stuck in the middle of the sea in the storm. Many times we feel like there's no way out. I get it. I truly do. But listen, Christ Church family, God wants you to hear this today. You have to change your perspective and walk by faith. You have to keep your eyes on him. Stop thinking about the negative and think about the positive. You have to change your negative stinking thinking and start believing that with God, all things are possible. And as God tells us in Isaiah 43:2, when you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? We are a people that believe the worst. You know, we all do it. We need to change our mindset. Faith refuses to have a defeated mindset. Faith refuses to believe that there is no hope. Faith refuses to accept that there is no way out. Faith refuses to accept a negative mindset, and that kind of faith is what allowed Peter to get out of the boat and to walk on water. Because Peter, unlike the other disciples, has a different mindset. The other disciples could have walked on water to Jesus as well, but they stayed in the boat and were afraid. We have to do the same thing. At some point, we have to say, I know what the doctor said, but I choose to have faith in God. I know my finances are not good, but I'm being obedient through tithes and offerings. And I'm trusting and having faith in God that he'll provide for my every need and cause me to prosper. I know my child has not talked with me in months, but I have faith that God will bring good out of that situation and restore that relationship. I know those at my job can be very difficult, but I'm trusting that God has me there for a reason, and that according to God's word, no weapon formed against me will prosper. We need to have this type of positive thinking. So Peter has faith and trusts God and begins to walk on the water, and then he begins to sink. Why does he begin to sink? Verse 30 says, he saw that the wind was boisterous. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? He began to sink because he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to doubt and saw the wind. Let's review what the scripture says about the wind. The wind has been described as contrary and boisterous. But watch this. The scripture then says in verse 32, after Peter cried out for God to save him, it says, the winds ceased. If we cry out to God and we have faith and we keep our eyes on Jesus, we too can witness the winds cease. Jesus goes to the disciples in the middle of the sea. The disciples are afraid. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. Be Pharisaio. Be confident. For it is I. It is I. I am in this with you. I know the health report looks bad, but I'm in this with you. I know you're wondering where your next rent payment is coming from, but I'm in this with you. I know you're in need of a new job, but be of good courage and don't be afraid. It is I, and I am with you. I know life gets ugly and the winds get boisterous around us, but God says that he is with us. How terrible it is to not recognize that God is with us. But can I let you in on a little secret? This happens all the time. And in fact, it happened to some of us here today. We came to church just to check the box, right? Make sure that we got our names here. You came to church and you brought the dark, the wind, the rain. You brought all of those things with you, and you're so focused on what's going on outside these four walls that you can't see the presence of Christ. In fact, you had a very hard time worshiping this morning because you're so focused on the wind and the waves. And I know this because it happens to me. I've done it too. I want to suggest to you today that Jesus is saying to you, get out of the boat. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus will calm the storm. He'll call you to get out of the boat, and he'll cause you to walk on water. The Sea of Galilee. I have been to Israel twice now. I've been very blessed and hope to go back a third time at some point. The first time I went and I was your typical tourist, right? Click, 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 taking all the good photos. I wanted to make sure that I got all those photos to bring home to my family. I even did some FaceTiming there so that my husband would get to enjoy some of that, and did some FaceTiming with mom and dad so that they would get to see that. So my first time I did all of the pictures, and then the second time I went, I was really able to process everything. And I had time to spend in God's word, and so I could relate God's word to exactly where it was that we were in Israel and what was going on in that day. And so I really learned a lot more the second trip for myself. But both trips, the Sea of Galilee, the trip that we take on the boat ride that we take on the Sea of Galilee, probably stuck out to me the most. I remember closing my eyes and picturing that night that Peter walked out to Jesus. And every time that I picture that, it brings me to tears. Because I think, what has God called me to, and I wouldn't get out of the boat? What blessings have I missed along the way because I wouldn't get out of boats? But God is faithful, right? We must keep our eyes on Jesus, or we'll sink, and we have to get out of the boat. We must remember that when, not if, but when, God calls us to get out of the boat, he's got a purpose for all of us. So not when, not if, but when God calls us to get out of the boat, that he'll be with us. And he'll help us through whatever it is he's called us to do. God's going to call you out of the boat to do things that you never imagined. I mean, come on. Healthcare, 40 years, call me into ministry. God has got a sense of humor, y'all. I have witnessed storms in my life, and God always shows up in the storm and calls me to get out of the boat and to walk to him on the water. All I have to do is to have faith and do what he's calling me to do, and the winds cease. Now, that doesn't mean that the storm has stopped. I may still be in the eye of the storm, but with Jesus, the winds cease. You may still be struggling with health issues after you've taken them to God. You may still be having financial issues. You may have an addiction, family dysfunction. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus and have faith that he's going to take care of you like he says he will, you can have peace in the storm and the winds will cease. I want to give you 5 practical things that you can apply in the storm. Number 1, peace is not the absence of a storm. Peace is having Jesus with you in the storm. Jesus didn't invite Peter to get out of the boat after he calmed the water. Jesus invited him to get out of the boat in the middle of the storm. Number 2, faith requires us to get out of the boat. We're people of comfort. We're people that don't like change. We don't like the unknown. Peter got out of the boat when Jesus said, come. The other disciples didn't have the faith. They were too afraid. And it was scary for Peter too. And Peter ended up sinking. But Jesus reached out his hand and saved him. The same thing happens to us. God calls us to get out of the boat, and we start doing what God has called us to do. And then the winds get boisterous around us, and we begin to doubt, and we begin to sink. But Jesus reaches out his hand, and he rescues us every time. The third thing we see is that without Jesus, we will sink. Because we live in this fallen world, a life that's full of storms, and if we take our eyes off of Jesus, those storms and the winds around us will make us sink. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, even through the storm. Number 4, worship. Worship should be our response. Verse 32 and 33. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind had ceased, and then the disciples worshiped him. Our response to Jesus in every situation should always be to praise him and to worship him. But you say, I'm still in the storm. I get it, but he's going to bring you through the storm if you keep your eyes on him. So our response should always be praise and worship. Have you ever thought, this is a soapbox, I gotta get on it. Have you ever thought about how we go to the Cardinals games or how we go to the Blues games and we're all excited and we're yelling and we're screaming for our favorite player and we're lifting our hands and screaming and doing the wave and all sorts of things. And we get here and worship and what do? Does that hurt anybody else's heart? Our God's worthy of much more than that, isn't he? Our God is worthy of us raising our hands. Our God is worthy of us saying amen. I mean, when you talk about our praise team this morning, man, I'm sitting over here and I'm thinking, how do I preach after that? I surrender all that song. Oh my goodness, I love that song. Our worship team is leading us into worship. And when we come in, we should be worshiping the God who made us, who died for us, and who's planning our perfect eternal home. So worship. We should give in every situation praise and worship him. And this brings us to number 5. How is God asking you to step out of the boat? As I close, I want to invite you this morning to come to the altar and pray. We'll have some prayer partners. I'll be down over here in front. There is something so real about bringing things to this altar. I don't know about you, but for me, and even during the week, I come in sometimes and just bring things to the altar. There is something so real about that. If you're online with us, there are prayer partners ready to pray with you. Come pray about struggles. Come pray about your concerns. Or maybe God's asking you to go deeper in your walk with him. Whatever it is, God wants to work in you and through you. And maybe you're still in the storm, but he's reaching out his hand. He's saying, come, have faith, keep your eyes on me, and get out of the boat. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Father, thank you for our time here. Father, I pray as you continue to touch our hearts and our lives. Father, I pray that you will help us get out of the boat. Sometimes it's scary, and we want to keep our eyes on you. So help us to have that faith to step out of the boat. I pray if there's someone here today that needs to step out of the boat, Father, I pray that you'll give them courage to step out. All these things we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.